Can you hear those? It's time to start the meeting. If someone by the door would just like to poke their head out, tell anybody else that's out there that we're starting. So that's ready to go. You can play that? Matt, you can play that NPR thing?
We need to ring it up.
So maybe tomorrow?
Okay.
Well, I would really like to say welcome to everyone. This has been an amazing thing this year. We have greatly increased our advertising budget, and it certainly seems to have paid off. We have got, I think, close to, 190 now?
That's correct.
Okay. That have registered, and we know there's more coming tomorrow. That is double what we've ever had before. So we're really excited about that. I think it shows two things. One, that Well, for one thing, we, for the first time this year, advertised in every newspaper in Utah, including Provo, which was the first, had an ad in the UVSC paper, which was the first. A lot of the smaller towns in Utah got ads. We did two major ads in the Tribune in Salt Lake, and University of Utah. We ran three ads there, huge ads, in the student paper, one of which was the mail-out one they do in August, which goes to 26,000 people. So I forgot to do it today, but I've got some of those ads with me, and I'll put them up on the wall so you can see what they were. They're really... No. But, you know, they own the Tribune now, so it's a miracle we get it in there. Anyway, well, I was telling you about the ads at the University of Utah. That newspaper was mailed out to 26,000 people. So, I know where I was going with that. On all our ads, we have our website, the foundation's website, and then the www.exmormon.org website. And so our advertising dollars are really geared every bit as much towards exposing those websites to people as they are towards getting people here to the conference. So when you consider how many people saw those, and they did generate phone calls and emails to us, and you can imagine how many, you know, hundreds if not thousands of people probably went to the websites to look at them. And I heard an interesting statistic today on the, not the foundation website, because we haven't gotten into the back to look at our hits yet, but the exmormon.org website is getting 160,000 hits a day on average. So that's just amazing. And it grows all the time. It just gets more and more all the time. We've just got a great conference scheduled this year. Wonderful presenters, great subjects, and again, most important of all is just being together and experiencing the synergy of people coming together who share a lot of very similar backgrounds, dealing with some of the same issues, and it's just a great chance to be able to meet people and to get to talk to people who really kind of get you, where a lot of people don't. And I'd like to ask a couple of kind of questions here. How many who are here tonight are here at our conference for the first time? Wow. It looks like about 85%. And how many are here from outside of Utah? Oh, wow. That is really great. That's really great. Now, being the social chairman that I am, how many are here all by yourself? Okay, I get a lot of emails leading up to the conference from people who haven't been before, and I get a lot of questions, well, does anybody ever come alone? You know, and of course I always write back and say, yes, a lot of people do, and a lot of people are a little fearful of coming. And so when you meet someone this weekend who you find out is here alone, just greet them a little warmer and make them feel welcome. And I've told everybody who writes me that it only takes a few minutes to be in this room with everybody else to not have that be an issue anymore. So I hope that's the case for everybody. A couple of interesting things have happened in the last 2 days. About a month and a half ago, I went up to Seattle to an Exmo social up there. My very best friend lives up there, and between the two of us, we kind of swing between Portland and Seattle doing parties once in a while. And we had gotten a phone call from an NPR reporter who had, through the internet, found out about some of the groups that are established around the country for ex-Mormons. And so she asked to come to the social, and she did. And just a real pleasant person. And she stayed the whole night and interviewed several people and just was kind of amazed at what she was hearing. As most reporters find out, there's just a whole lot of levels to this whole thing that they don't know about. But just got an email, went up to my room about 45 minutes ago, that NPR broadcast that story that she did today. And that link to that was sent to the Yahoo email list. And I'll get that written out and posted somewhere over the weekend so you can go to hear it if you want to. But Matt has just told me, our AV person here, that he's going to get it set up that maybe we can play that tomorrow. It's not very long. But and then yesterday I got an email from a Wall Street Journal religion reporter who had found out about the conference and wanted to call me today and talk to me about it. And I wrote her back and told her it was a very busy day, but try me. And we didn't connect, but I just wrote her back a few minutes ago and said, try me tomorrow because it's not quite so crazy. So hopefully that will happen. And there has been a lot more press interest in us and some of the issues. I think people are beginning to realize that leaving the Mormon Church is, you know, not like walking out on the Methodists. And those are exciting things. And it's not the foundation that wants the publicity. We want the publicity so that other people like all of us can find out that there are other people out there like us, so that they can get the support that they need. And that's what it's all about. I want to mention that we're not going to have an auction this year, but we are doing a raffle, and the raffle is for 5 books, and they're over here. This is Todd Compton's In Sacred Loneliness, one of Michael Quinn's Mormon Hierarchy, Origins of Power, Grant Palmer's book, Insider's View of Mormon Origins, Simon Southerton's Losing a Lost Tribe, and Arza Evans, who is here for the weekend, will be on our panel Sunday morning, Keystone of Mormonism.
Can I add my book? It's written in 1851, part of my book. I transcribed it.
Okay, why don't you just make that available to people, because I'm set up just for this. So the tickets are $1, and I'll be just kind of walking around on the weekend with the tickets, and then we'll do the raffle after the dinner tomorrow night. Okay, a couple of announcements, too, about the hospitality room, which is right next door, which is where we will go when we're done tonight. We are going to be very careful about making sure that we follow the liquor laws in Utah, and which is, you know, very mysterious thing to get through. But basically, we are going to make sure there's no underage drinking, and we will, if there's any question, be asking to see ID, and we just hope that nobody's insulted by that, but we want to make sure that both us personally and the foundation is completely protected on that issue. And there are signs posted in there to remind everybody. And also, the liquor laws do not allow us to take drinks out of that room and go, like, out into the atrium. We're okay to just go out there and socialize, but the drinks have to, anything that's alcoholic has to stay in the hospitality room. And I want to remind you that we have the cash bar in the back, and he's going to be here until almost the time that we're finished in this room tonight. So that's available to you for the next, I think you're scheduled to when? 9 o'clock. For those who have been here before, and there's not a whole bunch of you, our hospitality room before has always had like a little kitchen and a sink, and we don't have that in this room, so we're going to have to be extra careful with being neat and tidy, and just kind of watch the spillage and stuff as much as we can. And there's plenty of garbage cans and things in there, but I just would like everyone's cooperation. And then at the end of the evening, as we all kind of start to disperse, a little help with cleaning up would be appreciated. And since we're not going to be up in the hallways like we've been before, we're not going to have much issue with noise. But if you decide to have your own little mini party in one of your private rooms, we just ask that you be very aware that there are other guests in the hotel that don't belong to our group, and try to monitor your noise levels as much as possible. And just be nice little Mormon kids, you know. Okay, that's it for all the business. And again, we're just delighted to see you here, and there'll be a whole bunch more people coming in. This is probably, I don't know how many are here, but I imagine there's another 50, 60 at least that we'll see by tomorrow. So I'm going to turn the time over to Lou Wagner, who is the president of the Ex-Mormon Foundation, for some thoughts and comments. And he will then, when he's finished, turn the time over to our open mic time, which is just for those who want to take the time to tell us a little bit about yourselves, where you're from, how you came to be either a teetering Mormon or a non-Mormon or ex-Mormon, or what the status is. And Richard Packham will be our timekeeper, and we're going to have to do this because we have so many more people tonight. It'll be 5 minutes max. Hopefully you can keep it even a little shorter than that so that everybody who wants to participate can. And Lou, give Richard just a minute before you start those, because he's got another announcement to make too. Oh, and when you come up, if you do not want to be recorded, hold this up. It'll be sitting right here on the podium. Okay, when he gets this, he turns off the recording. Most of you probably know from the announcements we've made, but everything's being recorded this weekend, and it's going to be put on the website, on the Foundation's website, so we will be able, it'll be streamed off of there, and everyone's going to be able to hear all the presentations. I get so many comments, because as you well know, there are so many people who can't, don't have the time or the funds to come and join us. And it's always a problem every year that they want so badly to hear their presentations and haven't been able to. So thanks to Matt Barneson, who's just, he's been our salvation on so many things on our website, and he's just incredibly talented and knowledgeable, and this is going to be a big step for us. So we're real excited about that.
Can I raise this up here? Or can you pick it up okay? This is an example. You can record me all you want. Just to reiterate what Sue said, Matt needs to know when you don't want to be recorded. It will be right here. Okay. Thank you all for coming out to this. I really appreciate it. Sue has done an incredible job here putting this together. Please give her a big hand. In addition to the efforts that Sue has put into this conference, there have been a lot of people who have also done things undercover, and they've done excellent work on that, and I would name their names, but a lot of them have asked me not to do so. But just remember, there's a lot of work that's gone into this conference. And having said that, if you ever want to do any work to help us out with the foundation in general or with our next conferences, please feel free to ask, and we'll find a way to put you to work. We're still a little bit disorganized there, but we'll make it happen. For all of those who have left Mormonism, I say congratulations. And I also want to point out to you that when I say that you've left Mormonism, I'm not talking about sending in the letter to the church headquarters. I'm talking about what you've done up here. I'm talking about those of you who have said, "This something's wrong here, and I don't want any part of it anymore." Whatever your reasons are, those are valid reasons. And let me see if I can find a quote here that I found very important. This is by a guy named Jim Rohn, who is a motivational speaker, who said, "Let others lead small lives, but not us. Let others argue about small things, but not us. And most importantly of all, let others leave their future in the hands of others, but not us." That has a lot of power as far as I'm concerned. We've done what we need to do to take our own lives back into our own hands and to leave a bright future. But you know what? Sometimes that does leave us hanging a little bit. There is some fear that's involved in a lot of people when you get out of something that you've been involved with for so many years. And it can be difficult. It can be very difficult. But now that you know that the Mormon Church has no hold on your life, you have a very wide vista ahead of you on what you can do with your future. And that's what the foundation here is all about, is finding a way to put all of us together in the same room, put us all together in the same chat room if necessary, set up a bulletin board, somewhere where we can all go to have the support that we need from other people who have been through it. I've been out of the church for 6 or 7 years. It's been long enough where I don't even remember how long it's been. Other people have been out of Mormonism for a great many years, and they found ways to deal with all the little hang-ups that happen, and the big hang-ups, because there's a lot of tragedy that goes on there as well. But let me reassure you, you've done the right thing. And you've done the right thing for your own reasons. Those reasons will not change, because the past doesn't change, but you can. This is my whole talk, by the way. No. Oh, what happened is I had it all written up on my laptop, and I forgot to print it out before I came up here. So while I was sitting out there at the registration desk, I rewrote my talk right here. No, I didn't really want to take this much time, but I wanted you to be assured that we're very interested in helping you to make the transition between Mormonism and what we call a normal life, whatever that might be for you. Having said all of that, I'll turn the time over to Richard for his comments. And then please, the rest of you, have a really good weekend with the conference. If you need anything, please let me know. Let Sue know. Some other board members, Brian is here, et cetera, et cetera. So let's have a very good time this weekend.
My job tonight is a very minor one. I'm to be the timekeeper for the open mic session. And I have one other announcement after that. As Sue said, we would like to hear from as many as possible, so long as you don't talk longer than 5 minutes. And I'm going to be sitting there in the front row, and I will have some little cards to let you know how much time you have. First of all, please be sure and tell us who you are. Identify yourself as much as you wish. You can give us a pseudonym if you like, but tell us something, you know, tell us what your name is. To remind you of that, you'll see this card. And when your 5 minutes start, you'll see the five card. And they gradually will go down. Okay. And I will hold them up very inconspicuously, but you'll be able to see me. When you're down to 30 seconds, start winding it up, and then you'll see the stop card. If you go much beyond that, I'll be standing up and waving in front of you. And if you would like to talk, in order to save some time, if you think you'd like to share with us, please come up and sit in one of the chairs here and take a turn. Where Lou is sitting will be the next person to talk. An entirely unrelated announcement. For those of you who might be interested, there will be an introduction to the Mormon Temple Endowment Ceremony tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock in room 901. Now, this may be of interest to those who never were endowed or those who were endowed only after 1990 when major changes in the endowment were made. Since this presentation will be based on the pre-1990 version. Also, those who might like to re-experience parts of the endowment in a different environment from the temple as part of their recovery from Mormonism are welcome. Now, the entire ritual will not be presented because that would take over an hour, but you will be have a chance to hear the covenants, the signs, the tokens, and the pre-1990 penalties. Those will all be demonstrated for you. And those who wish will have the chance to pass through the veil into the celestial room wearing the robes of the holy priesthood. Now, the purpose of this demonstration is not to mock or to spoof, but to educate and to make known the secret combinations of Mormonism and to fulfill the prophecy of the last days at 2 Nephi 30:17-18. There is nothing which is secret save it shall be revealed. So we intend to reveal. Recommends are not required. Again, if you have temple clothing, you may bring it.
I have to play mother now. Those of you sitting in the back at the tables and so forth, I don't think you realize how much we can hear up here. So if you're going to talk back there, please whisper, because it's really quite noisy. So with that ado, I forgot to actually say what I had planned on saying when I first stood up here, and I will start the open mic time by saying, I am Sue, and I am a Mormonaholic. And unfortunately, as all people with addictions, you're just always not quite totally away from it, especially if you have family. And that's my case in every direction, devout Mormons. And I'm not going to take any more time. But the time is yours now. As Richard said, 5 minutes max. And we have no rules for what you want to say. If you want to tell us your story, fine. If you want to make a joke, fine, whatever. But we'd like to get to know you, especially because there's so many new ones. So anyone who wants to come, the time is yours.
I'm going to be first because I love attention. So anyway, I grew up Mormon in a very strict Mormon house. And at about the time of 14, 15 years of age, like, I love the church dances. I love the youth conferences because I love boys. So I would go to those, and I was totally into it. And I decided, because I grew up in Bremerton, Washington, which is close to Seattle, Washington. So all my friends were non-Mormons. They were very diverse. And I was very into whatever they did, but they always said, she's a Mormon girl. I was like, what does that mean? You're Catholic, you're Methodist, you're whatever. Like, Mormon, what's that any different than whatever anyone else is? And I didn't understand why I was so different. And then, like, I was just myself and I'm very crazy anyway. So everyone was like, you're on drugs or something. Like, what are you on? I'm like, I'm high on life. Because that's what they would say in the Mormon church, you know. So I was very into everyone else and everything like that. And as I got to know other people, I start to question the church. And I would question my Sunday school teachers and things like that. Is this what I'm supposed to be talking about? Because nobody's responding to me. And it's making me very uncomfortable. Okay, thank you for that response. Okay.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, yes, exactly. So, I was like, what makes me so different or whatever? So, as I got older, I started experiencing other things. So I'm like, I'm not into this. And so I grew away from the church. I was not. So I'm not like a lot of you that I've met tonight that have been devout Mormons your entire life and have just left the church recently and have lived a large part of your life in the Mormon church. I lived a part of my life between like birth to like 15, 16. I'm 29 now. And I haven't been a Mormon for like 15 years, so I've lived my adult life as a non-Mormon. And I can guarantee you I'm very happy with my life, and I'm very secure in my decisions, and it's not a problem for me. The reason why I'm here tonight is my sister, Michelle. I'm not going to say what age she is, but she has been a devout, I would say staunch, Mormon her entire life, and she used to preach to me and used to like, why aren't you going to church? Mom and Dad used to force me to go to church too, but I thank them for that because I'm happier now. That's funny, huh, Michelle? Because Michelle, just the last 2 or 3 years, decided the Mormon religion was not for her. And so she's left the Mormon religion, and she appears to be a much happier person, and I thank the Lord that Michelle has left the church, because Michelle was, I don't know how old she was when I was married, because I'm not going to divulge her age, so when she was born, and then she was out of the house when I was growing up, so we didn't have a very close relationship. She was like 9 kids in our family. Hello. I don't know how my mother kept her mind about her, but 9 kids in the family. So Michelle's the oldest daughter. I'm the youngest daughter. So I'm the 8th child. She's the 2nd child. What? Did you say something? Okay. Oh, you're picking up what I'm putting down? Okay. So, anywho, she was older. We never had a relationship, Mormon. Like, you could be older than your uncle. I don't know. So, I can make a lot of jokes about the Mormon religion, but I'm not about, like, anti-Mormon. I'm not here to accept my ex-Mormonism, because I already have. I'm here to support my sister, because my sister has been Mormon. She went on a mission. She grew up her whole life as a Mormon, and she just left the church 2 or 3 years ago. So she calls me up, and the funny thing is, in the last 2 or 3 years, we have actually built a relationship. We're actually friends now. We can actually talk openly and have a conversation with each other and not feel like she's going to judge me or I'm going to judge her or whatever. And it's beautiful. So she says, I'm going to this next Mormon convention. I'm like, what's that? And she's like, well, it's just Mormons that used to be Mormons. And I'm like, okay, that sounds interesting. I'd be up to going down. Oh, I'm supposed to stop now. So, anywho, I'm here with my sister, who is a recent ex-Mormon. I'm a long-term ex-Mormon. And I couldn't be happier with my decision.
I'd like to bury my testimony. I know this church is not true. And I left it because I love my family. I love my husband, who's never been a member of the church, but always been supportive of me during the time that I was devout in the LDS church and active. People told me not to marry him, and I did anyway, and I'm ever grateful that I had the courage to do that. And I'm ever grateful that I had the courage a few years after that to open my eyes and see the evidence that was available to me and make an educated decision. I didn't want to raise my son to believe that his family was lesser, inferior, incomplete. And unworthy. So it became apparent to me after a couple of years of being married and doing my best to stay active and teaching primary and paying a full tithe and doing pretty much whatever I thought I could, it became clear to me that none of it was enough without being sealed. And so I just became more and more depressed, and I would continue to try to keep up appearances, and I would go to church on Sunday, and I would hear something, anything, it didn't matter, just something, and then I would be depressed for the rest of the week, and then by the time I came out of my depression, it was Saturday night, and I knew that I had to go to church the next day again. So there's probably nothing that I could say on the subject that's an original thought that I guess would only apply to me and no one else here, so I won't try to come up with an original thought. I will say that I'm grateful that I can finally, I guess, be who I am and have a forum to speak bluntly about it, and thank God or nothingness, whatever you believe in, that we don't have to go through it alone now. So I'd like to thank all of the people who have made this conference possible for that. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Jessica Truax. I post as Jessica Truax. And I just had a question. When they do the temple thing, are they doing the naked touching? Because I have some oil and I'd volunteer. And hey, someone's got to do it. Huh? The things I have to thank for leaving the church is my butt got cuter and my boobs got bigger. So, you know, this has been a good thing for me. So, great to meet everybody, and I hope there's some people here who want to shake their butts tonight, because it would be really fun to go dancing and, you know, kind of. So, if you are interested, come see me. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Hey, I'm Karen. I post under Karen and AZ most recently, I guess, as a Troy McClure. You may know me from such posts as my stepfather is being screwed over by the church. He's a custodian in New Orleans and not getting paid. That's me. He's now getting paid because he's back home and he's doing recovery efforts. So, and actually, their house is intact, but the house I grew up in is not, which is across the street from the Jefferson Ward, which, amazingly enough, when I was growing up, was the Metairie Ward, because there was a separate Kenner Ward, but because the church is growing, they've consolidated them into the Jefferson Ward. And I'd also like to say that the fast and testimony meeting would be a lot more interesting if they had an open bar for 2 hours beforehand. Anyway, I am from the Arizona delegation. We are happy to be here. Most of us are first-timers. And we're here to party. So, Sue, we're going to be loud in the back. You're just going to have to deal with it. So, anyway, we're glad to be here. I'm super happy to be here. Got spirit flowing out of me like you wouldn't believe. So, also, I'd like to publicly thank Richard Packham for posting the Robert G. Ingersoll poem. I have it framed in my home, and it is my new mantra. So, anyway, we're here. Some of us, anyway, we're here, and we're here to stay. So, have a great time. Huh? Oh, it's on the board. Just go back. It's a great poem. It's awesome. So, anyway, have an awesome time.
My name is Renee Hunt. You can record that. Is it Matt? Yep. Renee Hunt. I live in Gold Canyon, Arizona. I post as Renee in Arizona. Yeah, Richard, I love you. Has your wife gotten over that yet? I told him I loved him. His wife had an issue. Anyway, we love you, Mrs. Packham. No? Oh, okay. Oh my gosh, Janet, I love you too. Okay, I have had 2 wines and 1 rum and coke, so I have been out of the church for 2 years, okay? Let's see. I would like to thank Rob for not making me the person who would perceive the uncomfortable silence that comes for the last 5 minutes of testimony meeting. So thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. Anyway, I've been out of the church, resigned from the church for 2 years. I was teaching gospel doctrine 2 weeks before I resigned. I have a 12-year-old daughter who I took with me, and she's very happy. Let's see, what else? I know Karen, who's just up here. We are the Arizona contingent, and Tom, who's left his seat, who's moved. He is going to be one of our presenters tomorrow. He has a great, great presentation. You guys will all really, really enjoy it. I was born in the covenant, raised in the church, served a mission to Hong Kong. Any ex-Hong Kong missionaries out there? Graduated from BYU, did the whole thing up until I was 40 years old, and then saw the light. Anyway, I'm so happy to be here, and looking forward to the conference. Anyway, okay, great. That's it. That's all I have.
You can record this, brothers and sisters. I know the ex-Mormon movement is true. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I have to admit, I do profess love for Richard Packham also. And a number of other people here. My name is Rob Shively, and since I'm already out of the closet, I don't mind being recorded. I was part of a video documentary a couple of years ago called Get the Fire. And after that aired, I got an angry call from my ex-wife. How could you? How could you do this to us? Well, you know, that's the fun part, isn't it? Maybe there is a God. After all. Well, I'll try to keep this short. I've been sufficiently lubricated. I mean, socially lubricated. And, you might want to strike that from the record. Maybe not. Anyways, I got out of the church about 6 years ago, 98, I think, with that 7 years. And attended my first ex-Mormon conference, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago. I think the first one in Salt Lake in 2001. Richard, put your damn card down.
I'll just go through them.
Okay, oh, please do, please do. I'll try to glance out of the corner of my eye once in a while. It was really an interesting experience. I really enjoyed it. Had a great time. It's grown every year. I think the first couple of conferences in Las Vegas were the smaller ones, but since we moved to Salt Lake, since we moved to Zion, it's certainly borne fruits, you know. And of course, by their fruits, you shall know them. And so I think as long as we're here in the bowels of Zion, I think we'll do well. Our numbers will multiply. Maybe once in a while we'll have an opportunity to engage in replenishment. If not, think about it. Or not. And I would like to say these things in the name.
Oh, no.
Of... Cheese and rice. Very good. I was going to say macaroni and cheese, but I think cheese and rice sounds appropriate. And I'll turn the time over to Avril. Avril?
Arza.
Arza. Take it away, Arza.
How do you follow that? I don't know. I'm Arza Evans. I'm an old retired economics professor. And I did all the things that I thought I should do. I went on a mission and graduated from BYU and got married in the temple and did all the good things until I was about 40, which is the same as the speaker just before me. I don't know what there is about 40, but anyway, I started doing some research into church history, the Journal of Discourses, the history of the church, the comprehensive history of the church, things like that. And it blew me away. I hadn't read Von Brody yet or any of that. I just the church publications blew me away. And so I thought, well, how do I handle this? I kind of lived in the closet for a while. And then I continued doing research for about 20 years. And became very disillusioned. It's very, very difficult after all those years to realize that you've been had. And so I put together that 20 years of research into a book, The Keystone of Mormonism. And this book... And this book, I've been told by a number of people, is the most powerful book out there that really tells it like it is. Sure, there's a DNA problem, but that's only the tip of the iceberg. How in the hell did they build wooden submarines and put flocks and herds and enough food and water for 344 days on the sea? Just living in one of those for a day would have probably killed anybody that could. And I read the Book of Mormon 10 times before it dawned on me that was baloney. I don't know how that happens. It has the ability to brainwash people, I think. Well, I stopped being active. My wife went in and got a temple recommend, and the state president said, "Where's your husband?" She said, "He doesn't believe anymore." The state president said, "Why not?" She says, "Well, he started reading the old records into church history, and it blew him away." The state president said, "I know. I started reading those, and I had to quit. I had to quit." Well, I'm just grateful to be here. It saves me a lot of expense in therapy to be around other people who are intelligent and can see things about the same way I do. And I want to congratulate Sue and for this conference. This is my third year, and they just seem to be getting better every year. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Steve Motley. That's Steve Motley. I want to be recorded. This is my fourth conference, and for those of you that are here for the first time, let me tell you, you are truly in for a treat. And I am extremely honored to be able to follow two of my very best friends on the planet, Rob Shively and Arza Evans. And let me tell you, folks, if you have not purchased this book, get it. Arza does not pay me to say this, but every year I've stood up here and I've said the same thing, buy this book. It is the best, it's the most definitive work I've ever seen about the ex-Mormon movement. I was born and raised in the church. I served a full-time mission to Zurich, Switzerland. Anybody here been to Zurich? I was the number one baptizing missionary in Zurich from 77 to 79, and I'll challenge anybody to find to say different, okay? I was married in the temple. I raised five beautiful kids. And about 5 years ago, I met a young lady named Sue Emmett. And I met Sue, and when we got together the first time, my goal and intention was to bring Sue back into the fold. Because I knew that Sue was the great-granddaughter of Brigham Young. I knew that her dad had been the first temple president of the Oregon Lake Oswego Temple. So I met her for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to bring her back to the true roots of Mormonism. Well, Sue gave me some information that I had previously not seen. And I read it, and I was, you know, when you leave Mormonism, you go through the death cycle. You know, it's denial, it's anger, and then it's acceptance. Well, shortly after the denial phase, I went back to Sue and I said, don't ever share with me any ex-Mormon literature again. I said, you are the spawn of Satan. And I said, get behind me and stay there. Well, lucky for me, I continued my quest to find the truth. And here I am 4 years later. I can tell you it's the greatest move I've ever made in my life. It's very liberating, and like Mike Norton, I am an activist. Okay. Shortly after I met Sue, I needed third-party validation. She said, listen, we need to go down to Roseburg, Oregon, and meet a gentleman by the name of Richard Packer. Richard, I owe you my life. I met with Richard that day and his beautiful wife, Janet. They served us lunch, and I spent the better part of a day talking to Richard, a former very successful attorney who knows the truth behind Mormonism better than anybody I've ever met. And I can't thank you enough, Richard, for the information you shared with me that day, because it sent me on a quest that, you know, when you discover the truth, like Jesus said, know the truth and the truth shall set you free. We are all here in this room. We are free. Thank God we are free. Okay. And you are exactly where you should be relative to time and space. You are not here by chance. There are no coincidences in the universe. You are here because this is where you're supposed to be. Okay? I will tell you that when you fully start to grasp and comprehend what we have, you know, once you know the truth, it's incumbent upon you. You have a responsibility. Once you have been warned, or once you understand the truth, you absolutely must go out and share it with others. And that's why we're here. We're here to instruct, to edify. Trust me, you're here because this is where you're supposed to be. Okay? I had so many things I wanted to say. I'll save them for the last test of monkey, because I will speak again. But my background is military. I spent 20 years in the Marine Corps. I've been to 122 countries. I have seen and done things that most of you, I've lived a Forrest Gump sort of lifestyle, okay? But I can tell you that you are here because Mormonism is not true. And we are only as good as the information that we have at our disposal. Please, make sure you mingle this weekend with everybody here. There's a lot of collective knowledge here. Arza Evans, man, get this book. If you don't get this book, you're doing yourself a disservice. You need to get this, because Arza has laid it out step by step. And, well, I'm done. Okay. Anyway. Okay. I'll talk to you on the last day. Thank you very much.
My name is Roland Crosby. I am Arza Evans' spiritual mentor. And having taken my inspiration from the bold moves made by Joseph Smith a century and three quarters ago, I have declared myself the president of the Church of Hedonistic Existentialism. And I'll spare you a detailed explanation of what that means, but talk to me later. We're letting in people for half tithes this year, so if you're ever going to help me get into full retirement, I need to get more of you half tithe payers into the movement. I'm going to have to compare notes with the last speaker, because I am convinced that I misled more Swiss into Mormonism than he did. We know what we all are not. We are not Mormons anymore, but what are we? And I have wondered that about a lot of people who've lost their grip on the proverbial iron rod of faith. And so I have, in the half an hour that I began to think about preparing for something here at this facility and this conference, I put together a little questionnaire, and I would very much like the official sanction of the organizing group here just to ask those who would be interested to tell me what they have become now that they are ex-Mormons. Are you an atheist, an agnostic, a deist? Have you taken up the Muslim religion, the Buddhist religion, or just what? I'd be very interested in finding out. So anyone that's willing to answer these few questions and let me know, I'd be happy, by the way, to report back to anybody my findings. We hedonistic existentialists believe that we have the religion for the 21st century. It's the church of what's happening now. I admit that I borrowed that from Flip Wilson, but Flip didn't really have any philosophical basis for his claims there. But I'm going to try to get Flip to come on with me when we really start to serious proselytization and see if we can't attract a few more members. I do believe, however, in celestial insurance, just in case Joseph had it right. In 1982, they did a survey to try to come up with the most worthy family in the church to use as a group to put on the cover of the Family Home Evening Manual to inspire all of the rest of the lesser mortals. And that's myself right there, my wife, and two or three of my kids. Now, how many of you can make that claim, huh? One-upsmanship, hey, that's what we've got here. I've misled more Swiss, and I've been on the cover here. But I did not just say, hey, happy to be on the cover. I negotiated a splendid deal on the backside of this, and it's signed by the entire First Presidency in office in 1982. They say that they agree that as a result of allowing myself and my family to be on this cover, that I am not required to pay any attention to the more onerous restrictions of Mormonism, like the word of wisdom or some of these sexual requirements and restrictions. And that all I really have to do is show this picture to St. Pete at the Pearly Gates, and he'll pass me right through to the highest degree of glory. And so, just in case there's something to this, I've kept this close at hand. And I am, however, for those of you that want to take out a little celestial insurance yourselves, I'm willing to sign copies of this. You can show to St. Pete, just in case St. Pete is really there. Well, looking forward to talking to a lot of you, and looking forward to getting a few answers to this questionnaire. I don't know, can I leave it up here, just leave it at the table, or is there any...
I'll take it.
You'll take it. All right, thank you.
My name is Ken Roach, and unlike those who have preceded me, I'm not a stand-up comedian, and so I apologize in advance for that. I joined the LDS Church about 35 years or so ago, for the only reason that can be justified: a high school girlfriend. We subsequently married after I went on my mission and raised four children, and then I left, and we later divorced, and so on and so forth. If I were to describe my religious or spiritual journey, I guess I would say that I'm a Jewish agnostic, Mormon agnostic, and I am pretty solid in my agnosticism. I started coming to these conferences about 5 or 6 years ago, if that's possible, and I was so impressed with Richard the very first time I heard you that I've returned ever since. And also, before I forget, I'm amazed every time by all that Sue does to put these together. I think it's just incredible. So thank you, Sue. I'm always impressed by the caliber of the talks here, and that's why I return. In fact, I would say that there are two reasons that I attend. First of all, I love the diversity that exists at these conferences. We have people who are young, like I am, and that's so funny. And people who are older, and we have people who are atheists, and people who are agnostics, and people who are Christians. And I think it's wonderful that we all come together and manage to have a discussion, have discussions the way we do. We have people who are straight and people who are gay. And I love the diversity. I think that's such a great strength of the organization. And just out of deference to those who aren't as free with language, I'll just say the second reason I come is because I'm still really pissed off at the freaking missionaries who lied to me. And I don't think they knew any better, but now I know that they lied. By the way, when I first heard about Mormons, I actually thought that they'd all been killed in Donner Pass. Because I grew up in California, so I really didn't know there was such a thing as Mormons. So anyway, but I love the energy here and look forward to being here with all of you. Thanks.
My name is Mick Rhodes. I'm from a small town in Nevada. I, too, joined the LDS Church under the influence of a high school girlfriend. Fortunately, I did not marry her. That was good. What's that? Fernley. You're familiar with it? Oh, okay. After 37, 38 years, why does that number keep coming up? After 37 or 38 years in the LDS Church, I suddenly realized that life was an e-ticket ride that is best, enjoyed without blindfold on. And I took the blindfold off, and here I am. And for me, this has been kind of a what do we call it, Andy? This was going to be our rite of passage. You know, I came up with a friend from Dayton, Nevada, and he and I have known each other for years, and I said, let's go just as a rite of passage, because, you know, we're out, although we haven't had our names removed. Let's do this as a rite of passage and just have fun and see what it's like. We've never done this before. And Sue, thank you. There was a small handful of people up in her room the other night. They had a little, you know, icebreaker prior to this, and it was so wonderful. The people shared their life stories with us. To all of you that were there, we walked into that room, and in about 5 seconds, we were comfortable. We knew that there were friends there. I've never felt that kind of horsepower, that spiritual horsepower, in any sacrament meeting, ever. It was wonderful. And I just want to thank all of you people for showing up, because everyone here has been through what I've been through. They understand. You, all of you people, understand in one way or another at some level. I appreciate that so much, because it's part of a healing process that can only begin from within. But whenever I hear your stories, it helps my healing, because I go, yeah, I've been there, I've done that. And it's just part of that process. And before I conclude my comments, I'd like to ask a brief trivia question based on the Jaredite barges, which are one of my favorite incidents in the Mormon chronology. What do you call a Jaredite barge filled with livestock, human beings, water, tons of food, vegetables, that goes end over end over end over end over end in the worst Pacific storm in recorded history? Anybody knows what that's called? A smoothie. We call it the trade wind smoothie. And I say this in the name of whoever canceled Dr. Quinn, medicine woman. Amen.
I mostly just wanted to come up here so I could hear my voice. That's Oh, I'm Wendy Parsons, and I'm from Ogden, Utah. And I think this is my fifth conference, maybe. I don't know. I mostly came to see familiar faces because there's something comforting about that. And what else? I was born and raised in the church, and I thought once we left the church, it'd be great to get out of Utah. But actually, it turned out to be a pretty good experience. My boys are learning real life. They're able to learn their critical thinking skills. They're able to speak up in their classrooms and piss their teachers off. But no, it's great to be here, and hope you all have fun. It's great to get to know people and hear their stories.
That's a no.
Okay.
I go by Hiram on some of the boards, and a long time ago was Utah Gimp. I've been out of the church for officially for a few months now, and it's been interesting. It's been a weird ride. I live right down the street from Mr. Norton, and that's been weird too. I was watching the, like, on the MTV after the Katrina thing, and there was Mike Myers right next to Kanye West, and Mike Myers is reading the thing and saying, "We need to help and we need to give charity," and Kanye West goes, "George Bush hates black people," and I'm like, "That's me, that's like Mike, he just blurts out stuff." But I deal with it and move on. No, but this week I have been looking forward to the conference. I was speaking with my wife, and I saw some older people here, and I thought, that is just so neat. I want to be an old grandpa ex-Mormon someday. That is awesome. So I'm glad that you came out here. I look at you guys, and I'm just like, that is what my grandma, she's not up in heaven with the green apron and the... But I've also been thinking, too, about Martin Luther King lately and Harriet Tubman. A lot of people say to the ex-Mormon movement or the anti or whatever they like to call it, former post, that why can't you just leave the church alone? Why do you have to come have conferences? And why do you have to talk to people and just move on with your life? If you don't like us, just leave. But if Harriet Tubman would have went up north and then just left everybody back south and not started the Underground Railroad, you know, she did a great service. And I think that there are people out there like us who need support from each other. And we need that passage and that pathway to move along in the road of life. You can't erase what happened in Mormonism, but we can be a better people. And like Martin Luther King said, you know, I dream of a day that my kids won't be judged for the creed that they profess to. Just because they live in Salt Lake, that you're not Mormon or your dad's an ex-Mormon? Oh my goodness. So, yeah, I guess let's share the dream together and be free at last. That's it.
My name's Lon Morgan. I'm a tater stomper from Idaho. And it's a little bit of a stretch for me to stand here right now and to give my name out. I was visiting with a gentleman here beforehand. He says, after this is done, all these talks are going to be on the internet for anybody and everybody to see. And that's, frankly, is a little scary for me, because there's a number of my own family and friends that if they saw that, and who knows, they might, that would be a stretch. Because even though we resigned a couple of years ago, we still struggle. Knowing how it might affect our relationships with our families and our friends, We just don't know how that'll be. And somehow that's so precious, and we don't want to lose that. And so I guess this is kind of therapeutic to stand and say, yes, we're out of the church. Thank the great nothingness that we are out of it. The other reason I'm standing here is I have to confess a great and horrible and terrible sin. One of the most horrible sins a person could ever do in their lifetime. I did not cheat on my wife. It's much worse than that. I didn't murder anyone. I didn't rob a bank. I did the unforgivable. In 2000, I voted for George Bush. But anyway, folks, several years ago, I was struggling with many issues about the church, and doing a Google search came onto something called the Mormon Ring. As you're probably aware, that kind of bounces you from one thing to the next. And one of the first things that came up was a site by someone by the name of Richard Packham. I had no clue who this individual was, but I was immediately drawn to this website, and it changed my life, and by consequence, the lives of many other people that we have since come in contact with. Many of our family members, I can proudly say, have since left the church. And so, Richard, you kind of started a snowball rolling down the big mountain. And it's gathering speed, it's gathering size, it's gathering momentum. And I hope that this will be the stone that's cut out of the mountain that will fill the earth. Thank you very much.
My name is Ed Bliss, and this is my fourth conference. You won't need to get your cards out, Richard. This is only going to take a minute. I just want to make one point. I want to explain something to Arza Evans. He was quite concerned about those Jaredite barges, or submarines as they actually were, top and bottom, and the problem of people and animals being on there for an entire year and having to deal with not just the problem of feeding them, but the problem of that much human and animal excrement. If you'll read the Book of Mormon carefully, you'll find that every one of those eight barges had a hole in the bottom where that stuff could be drained out.
Seen your face in a long time, Ed. That's why I came here, I think, was to see some old friends. I wanted to say something about, I'm Kelly Jean from Los Angeles, about Sue's comment about I'm a Mormonaholic. I have missed a couple of conferences, but other than that, I've been to almost all of them except for the very, very first one. I had to go and do politicking in Las Vegas for all those people that weren't going to vote for Bush. And the year before that, I had another conference to go to. But I'm very attached to this group of people and the faces and the names and the words and the help that people have given me over the years. And I find it really funny, you know, it's like last night I was at the Joseph Smith thing in Claremont, and Richard Bushman was speaking, and Maxine Hanks introduced me to some guy named Don Barber, and she says, oh, he likes ex-Mormons. You know, it's like, okay. And, you know, because you're in this group where there's mostly Mormons, and there's a lot of academics, and blah, 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 and this guy likes ex-Mormons, and so we kind of surreptitiously talk to each other. And then today on the plane coming over here, there's a guy sitting next to me, he's reading Noam Chomsky, and I'm thinking, oh, this guy might be pretty safe to talk to about what I'm doing going to Salt Lake City. But we end up talking about geology. And then I get on the, I'm trying to get onto a shuttle, and there's no number, and then I run into Mark Fairchild or somebody from Seattle, and then we get on the shuttle, and the shuttle's full of ex-Mormons. But we don't know that until I ask Larry Pratt, what are you doing here in Salt Lake? Oh, I'm here for a gathering of friends. And I'm like, okay.
Exactly. You know, so there's this morbaholic thing, but we're like, you know, we got to be really, really careful, you know. So that's, you know, I've been out for, you know, many, many years. Pretty soon it's going to be 30, but I don't like to make people uncomfortable, you know. So these kinds of things are excellent for us to talk it out and get it out of our system and make the connections and find the relationships that substitute for the relationships we can't have in our lives with our Mormon friends and keep those connections with old friends. So anyway, there's a lot of room in this movement. This is 2005, marks 10 years of this movement when Ed Bliss, Eric Katunin, started this thing with a bunch of friends like Nolan Meekum and John Lenz on AOL years and years ago, when Concrete Zipper was still Noonstar. nobody knew who he was, and he couldn't come out to any of his family. It's been amazing over the years to watch the growth of people, to see the turnover, and that's what it's all about, is the turnover and the new people. I'm so excited to see all the new faces, although I am really here to see a lot of old friends. I'm just really touched by the stories that I'm hearing, and I'm also humored by, you know, the funny stories, but it's very touching to see how people are continuously coming out. And is it all because of this book right now? I don't know. Is that why we have such large attendance, or is it the advertising? That would be an interesting question.
Tal.
And his beautiful family. And on that, I'm going to say thank you for your time and hand it over.
Okay, my name is Gene Mihalko, and I'm not short. And I post under the name of Winter. I discovered that I apparently was of ambiguous gender on the board, and I kind of like that, but I guess my cover is blown now. And this is a bit of an anniversary for me. Well, let me explain why I posted under Winter. I'm from Grand Forks, North Dakota. That all by itself is sufficient reason. But I wanted to pick the name Winterpeg. I went to graduate school in Winnipeg, Manitoba, where I suspect Tal Bachman might have been born in. And the day I got on RFM, Deanna Emberg had just posted her story that day. It was, I think, the first thing I read. Roger Woodford was posting, a Duo LDS, who I have since met, and Preston Bissell, who I already knew, was from Wisconsin, and this is, good heavens, this is like old home week. So I was going to pick Winterpeg, and surprisingly, the name was already taken, so I settled for Winter. I was going to say this is a bit of an anniversary for me. You know, there were events in life that sort of get etched in everybody's mind. For my generation, it was the Kennedy assassination, the one thing that everybody knows where they were when it happened. I think for the recent event was probably the World Trade Center attack. Everybody knows where they were when they heard the news about that. And when I decided that this just wasn't working for me was one of those moments that I remember with an unnatural clarity. And it turns out that I was struggling, figuring I have to go talk to somebody, do something about this. I was a BYU student at the time, which complicated matters somewhat. And I was waiting, I was driving down State Street, I might have been talking to myself, and about 5 minutes to 10 o'clock on a Friday night in October 30 years ago, the moment hit because they were playing the number one song, and if nothing else, it allowed me to remember what the number one song from 31 years or from 30 years ago is. It was "Don't Go Breaking My Heart" by Kiki D and Elton John. That came on, the tears, the whole bit, and I'll never forget it. I could probably figure out what the radio station is if they had their playlists from that far back. It was just down here in Murray. It's been an interesting 30 years. At the time, I felt like a total failure until I realized that what I was failing at was failing to ignore reality and decided that's not that bad a thing to fail at. It's been a long journey. I still get trouble from my parents. They will never get it. The only way I'm going to win this argument is to outlive them, and which is true for a lot of us, I'm afraid. It's this is my first time here. It's a delight to meet some of the faces that go with the names, and I look forward to meeting more of you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gina, and I live in Bountiful, Utah, and I really didn't want to come up here and stand. Not because I don't want to be recorded. I'd like to be recorded, like, times 10. That's how important it is for me to, like, stand up and say I'm not a Mormon. But I kind of, the whole testimony meeting thing was kind of like, I don't know if I want to go up there. But I'm standing here because my husband and I are here together tonight. It's our first conference. We've left in the last 6 to 8 months. We've left the church. And we need friends. I'm here because I need friends in Utah. My whole social structure is the church. And so I want to stand up here in front of everyone because it's my best opportunity to say, I live in Utah and I want friends. So I also wanted to say, I'm sorry, I don't remember your first name, but Tal Backman's wife, you said that you were kind of scared about coming, and I can relate to the feelings. I wasn't really scared to come because I've progressed in my feelings about the church, but when we very first considered leaving the church, I started reading Martha Beck's book, Leaving the Saints, and I was sitting in the bookstore, and I started reading it, and it was just a few pages in. She started talking about the temple ceremony, and I just went, oh, you know what? I don't believe the church is true, but I don't need to go there. I don't think we should publish that. I think that's just crossing the line. And then I gave it more of a chance, and I couldn't read it fast enough or feel more validated than I did by reading. And my husband and I just looked for every book we could, anything to validate our feelings. We've been married for 16 years, both raised in the church from the time we were early teens, married in the temple. We're raising 4 children together. I'm happy to say we walked out together. There are so many families. So many marriages torn apart when one decides to leave. And neither of us really influenced the other. We both just had a lot of doubts over the years. And they finally culminated in discussing it and considering it and not being afraid this time. And my husband finally sat me down and said, I don't believe it. And I haven't believed it. I've never believed it. I don't have a testimony, and I can't live a lie anymore. And I'm so thankful to him. I mean, his story is more compelling than mine, but I'm just grateful that we walked out together at the same time. My one heartbreak at this point is I have a 14, almost 15-year-old daughter who's not willing yet to walk away. But we've indoctrinated her. We taught her the things that she thinks she believes. And so I hope that she'll become open-minded and not be so fearful of it. But in Utah, as a teenager, how would you make yourself a target to all your friends? This year was a big milestone year for us. That daughter is almost 15. I have a 12-year-old in April and an 8-year-old in August this year. And that was a big defining point for us. Are we going to take this step? Are we going to let our 12-year-old get the priesthood? Are we going to let our 8-year-old be baptized? And that was kind of a big compelling thing for us this year, too, to make us make that decision, because how much further could we perpetuate what we weren't really feeling? And we had grandparents calling on the phone, anxious to know what the schedule was for the year, because they were willing to be there in the front row. It was the good grandparents supporting their grandkids doing all the things they're supposed to do in the church. And we just started out saying it's their choice, we're not going to tell them what to do, and ended up saying we're not going to allow them to do it. So I'm just so grateful for the growth in the last year. I'm grateful for the many things that I've learned and for the strength that I've had with myself and my husband to do what we're doing. And so happy to be here this weekend to meet friends, to step out of our framework that we've always had and to make real friends, real people that don't just happen to live in our neighborhood and go to the same church building, but that we have things in common with and that we all believe the same thing. And also, I don't see the CTR ring guy in here right now, But I want to meet you. I was kicked off a website that had nothing to do with Mormonism, but just because I had a big mouth, and I related to you. So whatever your story is, I don't know, but been there, done that. So I'm just so grateful for everyone's stories. Thank you so much.
Mikkel Graff from Vancouver, Washington, and I don't care if you record me. I'm an attorney in Washington, and our family law judge in our court is an LDS bishop with about 12 kids, and he doesn't know that I'm an ex-Mormon. So if Judge Poyfair is watching this, I'm really sorry. I really like him a lot, but I have to be who I am. I left the church. I started leaving the church when I was 27. I'm 51 now. It was kind of like John Denver's song where he says, I was born in the summer of my 27th year, coming home to a place I'd never been before, left yesterday behind me. You might say I was born again. You might say I found the key to every door. I started reading and studying I was pregnant with my fourth child, married 8 years at that point, married my home teacher from BYU. I married a fellow from a very prominent Utah family in the banking business, and fortunately I'm not associated with that family anymore. The leaving the church changed our relationship because I met him in the BYU Honors Program, and we both were planning on careers. He wanted to be a doctor, and I wanted to be a lawyer. It was what I'd wanted to do all my life. And when we got married, I got pregnant. And you get in this mindset. I know a lot of you know what I'm talking about. And these young couples, they start competing on how many kids they can have. Honest to God, you just lose your mind. And we thought that we were intellectual Mormons because we spaced our families. Our children were at least 2 years apart. God. I still just can't. It's another person to me because it's not who I am now, but it's like somebody I know really well, but I just have to shake my head every now and then when I think about my past. I met Sonia Johnson shortly after I started reading when I was 27. She came to Portland, Oregon to talk about the ERA and her excommunication. And I came home from that meeting and was blown away. And I went to church the next day. I had to give a lesson on how to color coordinate your food and set the table. And so I saved up a few minutes to tell them about meeting Sonia Johnson, and everybody got really mad. And this one woman who was pregnant with her 9th and 10th twins, she was a stake president's wife, she got up and said, how can you say that? Sonia Johnson is filled with the devil. And it's like, you know what? I met her. You didn't. But, you know, that just doesn't do anything when you when your cousin's neighbor from Ogden, Utah, who knows somebody that knew Sonia, knows that she's filled with the devil. How can you argue with that, you know? So that afternoon, the bishop, the stake president, and the elders' quorum president came over to find out what was going on, because Ralph had also talked about meeting Sonia in his priesthood meeting. So when they left, I said to Ralph, you know, it's not what they said. It's the fact that they came. And it sounds like they have something to hide, and I'm going to find out what it is. And that led me down the road, and because of leaving the church, then I started thinking about my life, and I said, what the hell is going on with me? I always wanted to be a lawyer. And I said to Ralph, I want to go back to school. Well, he didn't want me to go back to school. So that started changing the dynamic of the marriage, and the marriage fell apart. And I have to say, there is life after marriage or after divorce, because I help people get divorces all the time. And I met the love of my life. I went to law school. It lost its accreditation. I went up to Rutgers, got a master's degree, and in my last year as a teaching assistant at Rutgers, met the love of my life. And last week we celebrated our 15th year together. So there is life after Mormonism. There's life after divorce. And sometimes it can be really, really good. I am here for the first time because of Sam Michael, who's my buddy from Vancouver, who started Mormon Outreach, and she put her ad in the newspaper, and I saw it for about a year after I moved to Vancouver, and finally decided that my promise to my dad not to be a professional ex-Mormon, that is, meaning say something about it to somebody else, I decided I was going to go, and I am so glad for that because of her I met Richard, and I've just made some wonderful friends. We have a little group of women up there. We get together every now and then for dinner. We call ourselves the Relieved Society. And so it's because of Sam and Richard that I'm here, and I am going to be a professional ex-Mormon, and I'm sorry, Judge Poyfair. I hope that I'll get a fair judgment in your courtroom once you find out that I'm an ex-Mormon.
Hi, Blair Watson from Vancouver, BC, Canada. And this past Wednesday, I was flipping through the our community newspaper, the Vancouver Courier, and there was an article written by an American who left the States in the 1960s. He was a conscientious objector to the Vietnam conflict. And he recently went back to his small town in Northern California for his their 40th graduation reunion. And anyways, it was a multi-page article in our newspaper, but I wanted to read you this excerpt because it has to do with Mormonism and the courage that is sometimes required to be true to oneself. He talks about a number of his classmates, I guess some of whom went over to Vietnam, and some were very profoundly affected by that experience. He says, Bruce Barton, in contrast, was very much present. Barton, a silent, quiet, shy Mormon kid, suffered a lot of casual cruelty from our classmates as we grew up together, both for his membership in an unpopular religious minority and for his personal lifestyle. He went on to attend the Mormon University in Provo, wrestled with issues of sexual orientation for years, and then, in an act of breathtaking courage, came out as a gay man in Utah. He stayed there for years as a minister in the gay-positive Metropolitan Community Church, facing down lethal prejudice and seeing at least one of the men who joined him in gay liberation actions murdered in the street. While others were driven to suicide, he made a career there as an openly gay minister and community leader before he returned to Oroville. Oroville is the small community in Northern California where the author's from. He had come home in the last decade with his same-sex partner, their son, and his partner's mother, and set up a shared household with Barton's aging mother. The two men cared for one of the mothers until she died and were currently caring for the second mom. So much for the American right's claim about just who lives out family values. Bruce is my candidate for the bravest and best member in our class. And I think that says a lot about sometimes the courage that people have to muster and the price that people pay in order to leave an organization that I left 13 years ago that I did so probably as many as you have because I felt to the core of my being that I would never know my true self if I didn't. I remember sitting in primary class in Sunday school and just having this raw, undefined, gut-level feeling that something was really wrong. And I didn't know what it was. And of course, I was being taught that we're told that the church is perfect and the organization is perfect. It's the only perfect church of God on earth. And of course, that just set in a great deal of confusion that intensified throughout my my childhood and teenage years and into my young adult years, to the point where when I was in my in college in my mid-20s after I served a mission, I was having nightmares. I was having nightmares of Satan choking me. I was waking up drenched in sweat, absolutely convinced that because my obedience wasn't perfect and because I was a member of the only true church of God on earth, and I was being targeted by Satan and his unseen army of evil followers, and that metaphysical or those metaphysical experiences were very powerful. And in the last 13 years, I've studied the psychology of Mormonism and just how intense it can get. As I was leaving a number of years ago, after I formally left the church, but I realized that Mormonism was still very much a part of me, deep in my psyche. And I had to drill down. I had to peel back the layers. And I remember at one point I wasn't exactly sure whether I believed in a God or not. And I was sort of still in this mindset that I needed to fast and pray and repent. And I was in a small apartment. And I was down beside my bed. And I was, I had been fasting for, God, it must have been over 24 hours. And literally a darkness inside my being closed in on all that I was. And I'm not talking about something imagined. I'm talking about something real. And it scared the hell out of me. And curiously enough, there wasn't really an evil feeling associated with it. It was just an incredibly intense blackness. And it knocked me out. And I woke up on my carpet. And I got up and I headed to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and all the blood vessels around my eyes had popped. So intense had the psychic experience been. And when I say psychic, I mean of the psyche. And I want you to know that as a result of 13 years of spending a lot of time, including 5,000 hours of meditation, to clear my psyche of all of the lines of wounding, damaging code, if you will, that Mormonism put into my mind from an early age. And if I have one message to anyone who is suffering here, it is that full healing is possible. Thanks.
Hello, my name's Allison. I post as Allison Esprit, and I'm from Tucson. I actually grew up about 150 miles from here in southwest Wyoming, and I left the church about 2 years ago. My family started going to church when I was a young teen, and they became fanatical. And I decided at 18, when I gained carnal knowledge, that I didn't want to be, that I didn't like going to church anymore. So I quit going to church from 18 until I turned 30. My oldest child was 8 at that time, and under the influence of my older sister, she pushed him to ask me if he could get baptized. So I thought, well, if he wants to get baptized, I might as well take him. So I started going to church when I was 30. And I jumped in with both feet, and I also became fanatical at that time. I had a non-Mormon husband at the time. I also need to tell you, when I was a teen, my parents were fanatic. And so when I decided I did not want to go to BYU and I didn't want to go to Ricks, remember, I'm 150 miles from here. My parents wouldn't pay for my school because I wasn't going to go to a Mormon school. So I went to wicked Weber State instead. And I paid my way through school and got my own degree. Because I refused to go to a Mormon school. Anyway, at 30, I went back to church, and I was young women's president, stake music coordinator, and I was very devout and did all those things. And I was the prodigal's daughter, and so the whole town gathered around me, and they were so happy that Allison had finally seen the light and come back to church. I left the church 2 years ago, and my main problem with the doctrine that I hated from the very first time I heard it was that we could become God someday. I hated that. I couldn't stand it, and I didn't want it. Life was hard enough. Why would you want to become a God and have all that responsibility? So that's what made me decide to start reading, and that's what helped me find my way out of the church. the last 2 years of my life have been the happiest of my life. I have that garment-wearing monkey off my back. I have full control of my brain and my intelligence. The most frustrating thing for me, though, is that my family always respected me for my intelligence and for my curiosity and my research and study that I did, for school and life in general. And then when I discovered the truth about the Roman Church, all of a sudden my intelligence is void and it doesn't count anymore, and they don't want to hear me talk about it. And that's been the most frustrating thing for me, is that all of a sudden they don't want to hear what I know. And before that, they would gather around to hear what I know. And that's been the hardest thing for me. I am pleased that I was able to help my aunt and my cousin get out of the church. My aunt will be here later. She posts as No Lo Mo, which is no longer Mormon, I guess. So she'll be here when she gets off work. She lives here in Salt Lake. This is my first conference. I'm so excited to be here. I love going to Recovery from Mormonism. I laugh every time. You guys are so funny. My non-Mormon husband doesn't get it. He'll come see what I'm laughing at, and he'll read it and go, I don't get it. But I have good abs, and it's from reading Recovery from Mormonism. I just laugh, and I want to thank you all for taking time to go there. I consider y'all to be my friends, and I've looked forward to this for months. Who's the girl that wants to shake her booty later? Did she leave? Let's do it. Okay.
One problem with leaving the church is you lose your practice in speaking in front of people. But anyway, I'm just going to talk about the last straw, because there were so many years leading up to it, the last straw. So in 1991, I knew there was a women's conference coming up the week before conference. So I said to my girlfriend, let's go to Yosemite. I don't want to hear it. So we went to Yosemite. And I was in some kind of freaky thing. I was eating so many chips and sugar drinks and caffeine. So I got home that night, and I called my sister. I said, okay, what did they talk about in the women's meeting? And she said, Robin, you're not going to like this. And she told me that Hinckley got up. There had been a movement among people, certain people, that they started praying to their mother in heaven as well as their father in heaven. And it was especially powerful for women who had been who had suffered from sexual abuse and had difficulty relating to men safely. So it was another avenue for them to go to Mother in Heaven. And then other people felt like, obviously, if the church believes in a Mother in Heaven, then you've got access to that too. So anyway, so my sister told me that Hinckley got up, and not only did he say, because people were actually getting up and starting, in public church meetings, saying things like Mother and Father in Heaven, and I believe any club can make their rules, and so. But not only did he say that people couldn't pray to Mother in Heaven in the church meetings, which I think, okay, whatever, but in their private prayers, they were not to do that, and I freaked out. It hit me like a thunderbolt, and I thought, this is just wrong. When you're inserting yourself in the middle of a person between themselves and God, that's immoral. All the years and all the stress I had gone through, I knew a lot of the history. I knew a lot of things, and I still didn't leave the church because I was a true believer, and I figured it was all my problem that I was so agitated by all these things. But that was so wrong, and I thought it was so cruel to people, because I knew it would turn people against each other. And what happened was, I went to bed that night, and then the next couple days I got very, very quiet. And I was 36, 37 at that time. I had three small children, a husband. I got very quiet, and things started working. They started changing in me, and finally, that was a Sunday night, I found out Wednesday morning, I sat down at the table and allowed my mind to loosen up and to think what I really thought. Because, all those things. And I thought, you know, this is just another church with nice people in it. There's no such thing as a true church, because certainly this would not be it. And I asked my husband to keep taking the kids to church for a while, because I couldn't take the guilt of pulling everyone out. I called and resigned from my position in the local ward at that time. And then the things that started happening to me were amazing. I had like a four-month honeymoon that you can't believe. I mean, I experienced things that I had never experienced in the Mormon church. A connection with the air, with God, whatever it was in me. I was part of it. It was amazing. And needless to say, after about 6 months to a year, my husband and I couldn't leave my kids in anymore, because I was experiencing things that I couldn't leave my children in this. So anyway. But I went back 4 months later to a meeting with a girlfriend. She wanted to attend a new ward and she wanted company, so I went with her. And I went to two of the meetings. And I was so, all of a sudden all the anger erupted. Because I was, those 4 months after I left, I was very sanguine about it and very calm. But all my anger erupted. And I heard things that I hadn't heard before. I realized how much the women in particular never felt good enough, how in the Relief Society meetings when I grew up, I mean, they would get up and bear their testimonies as if they were very spiritual, but I kept seeing that they were very depressed. And anyway, my time's almost up, but it's been a great experience. Every day you have to make new decisions on how you're going to raise your kids. My last child has left home now, but our children were young, and it was very difficult because part of me really believed that I was going to lose my husband and children in the hereafter. But there was another part that saved me that was much stronger. So I feel really lucky for that, and my marriage is wonderful, and my kids are, you know, they can think for themselves. They're just great people. It is scary at first because you have to negotiate all that stuff, you know, all the lifestyle issues. But it's really turned out well for us. And my second son, who's 22, he emailed me and he said, you know, and he was young, pretty young at the time. I didn't think he really understood it. He said, that was a pivotal point when you took us out of the church. Everything changed for us. So anyway, thank you.
This is a little intimidating for me. My name's Heather, born and raised in the church. I think I'm the youngest person here, 21. We've decided the other 21-year-old's 3 months older than me. So, you know, I've only been out of the church maybe 2 months, and this is not easy. This is not easy to come to a place where you don't know anybody and where, you know, religion is such a crazy thing anyways. Talking to strangers about it is hard. It's hard to do. And I'm sure most of you have gone through really hard times. I'm going through a really hard time. You know, I stopped believing in my religion. I separated from my husband. I didn't have a job. I was, you know, I feel like I was going downhill. And ironically, today I got a job and I came here and met all these really, really nice people. I feel like I have, you know, my life has crumbled, fallen apart, and now I'm trying to build it again and do what's right for me. My poor mom, I'm sure most of your mothers feel responsible, you know, for you leaving the church and you know, I told her, you know, Mom, I was never happy in the church, never. I've got a sister that's just a year older than me, and she was perfect. She did everything, you know, the Mormon girl is supposed to do. She's married, she's got a kid, she's pregnant, and, you know, she's happy. But that was never for me. And finally, you know, 2 months ago, I just said, I'm not happy. I've got to go find my happiness. I've got to go find out who I am. And it's not easy. It takes a lot of courage. And I just want to say thanks to everybody for you know, being here and really trying to find out who they are and what makes them happy. And you know, I told my mom, if being Mormon, if going to church every week is what makes you happy, I'm so happy for you. But that's not for me. That's not what's going to make me happy. And you know, I really feel like this is just another step in, you know, finding God or finding whatever I believe in. And I'm just really glad I have everyone here to share it with. And you know, I feel like we're just boosting each other and just saying, be true to yourself and do what you need to do to have a good life and to feel good about yourself. And I'm really excited to be here, and I'm really glad that I can meet everyone. And yeah, let's party.
Do this very well. Y'all are sinners. I didn't say that was a bad thing. My name is James Wilson. I live in Moore, Oklahoma, which is just a suburb of outside Oklahoma City. So until I move, I will always be a Moore man. I didn't think anybody would get it. I questioned the church, you know, a little bit, you know, growing up and stuff. I just couldn't understand some of the things that, I couldn't believe that some of the things that the church taught was true, but I figured that I just didn't know anything. I didn't know any better. Somebody knew more than I did, and just, you know, basically, you know, follow them. My parents certainly wouldn't lie to me. After I fell away from the church a little bit and married my wife, and we decided to get back into the church and prepare for a temple marriage. And after going through the endowment session, I just thought, this can't be true. There's no way. Why would a higher being require us to do this? And not talk to anybody else about this, you know. And again, I thought, well, I just not understanding everything. And I was told that I would need to keep going, keep attending, keep doing the sessions and I will get more every time I attend. So I made it a point to attend as often as I could. And my wife worked for an airline where we could fly, you know, if there's any seats available. So our goal was to try to attend as many temples as we could and do these sessions. And so Salt Lake was kind of different. We went to the Jordan River Temple, and my memory sucks. And so I needed help at the veil. And after I got through the veil, the temple worker got after me for not having what I was supposed to have said memorized, for requiring help. So when I finally met my wife in the celestial room, I was pretty upset. So when I got back home, you know, I'm a computer programmer, so did a lot of stuff on the internet. So I searched for, I wanted to go through the endowment sessions so I wouldn't have to deal with that again. And I knew that was something that you weren't supposed to do, but I figure, you know, I'm just going to do it anyways, and ran across a lot of interesting websites. Richards. And I was kind of upset. I was determined I was going to defend my beliefs, and I couldn't. I was looking for ways of proving that they were wrong, and I just couldn't. So I became a closet non-believer. I continued attending church with my wife, but I was visiting these websites, and I actually joined the Yahoo Ex-Mormon group and made some posts, and my wife got on the internet and found them. And that's how she found out. You know, it could have been worse, could have been gay porn. So we had a talk and separated for a little bit, and we still have our problems. 2 days ago, my wife told me that she read some of the websites that I visited, and now questions of her beliefs and the church themselves. Unfortunately, my older kids continue to attend, and that scares me because I don't want to wait outside the temple while they get married. I want to be there with them, and I know my oldest daughter, I won't be able to be there for her unless I become active, and that's not going to happen. And so, for those that, I mean, we had six kids. I just wanted to throw out if we were the perfect family. Our two oldest daughters are 3 months apart. So we constantly had kids, it was a blended family. Don't think, it's really funny to tell people. We live in Oklahoma, and when they find us out, they're Mormon. Well, I'm just trying to make up the 5 minutes that I've got. So I'm sure once I sit down, I've got something else to say. I guess I'll just come back and tell you guys next year. This is my first year coming here, and if everything keeps going the way they are, it definitely won't be my last.
Hello. Okay. My name is Holly Santamond. I am from a small town near Kansas City, Missouri. Originally from Las Vegas, Nevada. I was there for 26 years. I was born and raised in the Mormon religion, and at about 12, I was like, what is this crap? When we get into the young women's and then they start telling the men stuff different than they start telling the girls, okay, then I was like, what is up with this? I started hearing stuff that I did not like, so I was like, this is messed up. And then 14, you get into the next thing. I've been out for so damn long, I don't remember. But you get to the next thing, and then they start telling you you're not allowed to go to college. You shouldn't go to college. You should marry a return missionary and have a butt-ass load of kids and all this kind of crap. And I'm like, you're looking at a future orthodontist here. I do not want kids. I'm not going to have time for kids. I hate kids. Oh, my God. I had to babysit everybody and their dog, okay? I hated that. So I was like, this is bullshit. This is just retarded. So thank you. Yes, you can clap. So when I was 16, actually when I was 15, my parents divorced. And when I was 16, I had to live with my dad in order to go to the school that all of my friends were going to. And I had some very bad experiences with my father. The church, he felt, gave him special privileges as a father. And all kinds of, shit happened. So I've been questioning since I was 12, pretty much out since I was about 16, and I am currently now 29 years old. Honest to God, I'm 29. Out for a very long time, very proud to be out. This is my second conference. The first one I went to was in 98 when it was in Vegas, when I was still there. Don't see anybody I know. And I am very ready to meet some new friends and get that booty shaking going on that we were talking about earlier. And my mom and my aunt want to start the drinking, so we need to party on. Thank you.